pleasure to hand over to our first speaker tonight, Ms. Marta.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hi, I'm Marta Menedict.
Hi, Marta.
Hello, I need to sit on my hands because they're shaking so much. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And if there's anyone new here, if this is your first meeting or your first week or month, welcome. Please don't leave. Just stay, even if it seems like you actually don't want to be here. I think it's worth staying. I actually did the chair here exactly this time last year, and I still haven't listened to the CD, and I don't think I ever will. Actually, we sat next to each other. I don't think I ever will, because I can just see myself thinking, I could have said that, I should have said that, so it doesn't get easier, I think. But it's nice to be here a year later, because I can look back on how I was last year, what was happening last year, and where I am today, and see how much I've grown, and see how much has changed in 12 months of recovery and being clean. And everything I wanted that time a year ago, today I have. You know, I came into recovery an unemployable criminal. You know, I slept my way to get money, I used, I didn't know what I wanted from life. I really struggled to set things right. Today I've got an amazing career. For the first time in my life, I know what I actually want to do with myself. I've got plans, I've got dreams. I'm in an amazing, loving relationship with someone who loves me in a way no one has ever treated me. And, you know, when you believe all your life that you're not worthy of love, it takes time to actually accept that someone could treat you that well. And it blows me away, you know, sometimes when I just try and look from the side on how happy we actually are, and that someone could know everything about me and still choose to be with me, and I actually can be just me, and that's enough. I have amazing friends in recovery, thanks to being in recovery. The kind of friends who, again, know who I am. I don't need to pretend anything. I've got my family back. I've got an amazing relationship with my mum and dad, parents whom I either run from or who I hated. And, you know, and I got myself back. I got me, and I think that's the most beautiful gift of recovery. And when I say from recovery, I don't mean just coming to meetings and, you know, staying for a coffee after, that as well. But I've spent entire time in my recovery being of service, helping others, trying to help others as much as I can, and also doing the step work with my sponsor. And I think that has been imperative to my change. And I think, you know, it's been at times extremely scary and gut-wrenching and uncomfortable, but I went with it, and I always had the willingness, and I think thanks to that I'm here today, and I've got all these things that are going on for me. I just moved into my new house today, and, you know, I wanted to die 18 months ago because I just didn't think there was a way out for me, and I think life is so precious today. I think I really struggled with first few months in recovery because all my life I lied about who I was, and I had all these characters going on in different groups or in different circles. And, you know, I today understand that because of the high expectations that were placed on me when I was really little, I had this need to not maybe impress, but there was this need for me to perform to get a positive response from my parents. And I understand today again that that creates then the need to pretend that you are someone you're not because you're so scared you're not good enough. And, you know, even though that was unknowingly conditioned on me, I think that really affected how I behaved from my very early... it's actually my sponsee. I've got a sponsee today. Sorry, Natalie. You know, and that affected how I was, and I felt I could never be just me because my parents made me feel like I wasn't good enough, even though unknowingly, you know, I had to have the best grades and I had to be this really perfectly behaved little girl. And, you know, you, from a very young age, start feeling like who you actually are isn't good enough. You have this fear of, oh my God, this is expected from me. And then you start acting and pretending because you want to get the approval and you want to impress others or just, you know, get the love from them. And all my adult life, as well as my childhood, I always lied. And I always lied about everything. And I had different stories for different situations. You know, I told teachers at school my parents would get divorced just so that I could, you know, get away with something. I just didn't know who I was. And by the time I got into recovery, there was so much that has happened while I was using that no one actually knew about. You know, I lost the job because I've stolen tens of thousands of pounds from the employer. I didn't tell anyone about it. Everyone from my friends group knew that I left. My parents thought I was in another country. There was no one who I could actually reach out to and say, I'm actually really scared. Please help me, because I built lies around it. In every single relationship, I cheated, because the moment something got a bit rocky or, you know, I felt uncomfortable, instead of getting myself out of it, I wanted either revenge or I wanted to get the validation. So, again, lies. And then I always wanted you to think that I'm better than you so that I can feel better about myself. So even people who I considered friends, they had no idea who I really was, because with one group I was this really outgoing girl, with the other group I was really rude and aggressive, and I was just really lost. And I think, you know, at the end of my using, I, like I said, I was unemployable. You know, I had a criminal record, which at 20, at the time 5, made me beyond unemployable. You know, I've done geographicals, I've done all sorts of things, and I was lost. And it got to a point where, because of the lies and because of how I led my life, I couldn't tell anyone. There was no one I could turn to and say, please help me, because no one would believe what has actually been going on. So coming to recovery, you know, and then three principles of open-mindedness, willingness and honesty. I had the willingness because I knew I hadn't had a choice. I was fairly open-minded as for a newcomer, believing that alcohol isn't a drug for the first month and that I can drink because I'm so different than everyone else and, you know, I can prove everyone right. But the honesty was something I struggled with the most, because it was so difficult to open up in meetings. I still wanted to impress everyone. I still felt that my story was different than everyone else's, and there's no way you could understand the things I've been through. And I thought, if I tell my sponsor this, there's no way she will continue working with me, or she will judge me, you know. And I think it took time and it took love in the fellowship, thank you, for me to start feeling okay with my truth, for me to start hearing things in the meetings because I want to hear them, and realize, wow, someone else has been through exactly the same thing that I have. And realizing that if I share about it honestly, maybe I can then help this next person who hasn't got the courage to talk about it. You know, and with time, I think all these layers of lies just started falling off. And I think my biggest gift from recovery is the fact that it sounds really cliche, but I really found myself. And I think, you know, I got down to the bottom, to this really pure spirit, and unraveled this person who I suppose I was very early in my childhood. And, you know, I'm so different to who I always believed I am, or who I believed I need to be for you to like me or think, you know, I'm cool or whatever. And it's been the most amazing gift, because today, on a good day, I'm really comfortable with myself and I like myself. And I think the first time in my life, I'm just not beating myself up over small things. And, you know, there were moments in my step work where I just wanted to quit everything, but I didn't, and I'm so grateful for it. And I think it's been the most, it's such a simple program, but it's been the most profound thing that I've done for myself. And I always say this, but what I really get from recovery is that today I go to sleep at night and I just go to sleep. I don't lay there in bed thinking, what have I done yesterday? What are the consequences? What have I said to this person? You know, I don't sweat thinking, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And equally, you know, in my relationship, my phone is just somewhere. I don't care where my phone is, because there's nothing on that phone that I need to be aware of, or, you know, that I need to hide somewhere. And I don't ever have to think what I said to someone anymore, because I tell the truth. So I don't need to memorize the conversations I have with people. And there's just such a freedom from lie. And, you know, it's only been, I'm coming up to 18 months soon, and it's, you know, it hasn't been that long, but it has changed my life in the most incredible way. And I think, you know, to anyone who's new, just please stick around, because at the beginning it seems so confusing and so scary, but you know, I don't know how it works, and I don't really want to know how it works, but all I know that it worked. You know, and I, last thing I'll say, you know, I never really believed in God because my environment has been very Catholic. God punishes you if you do something bad, and, you know, an old man sitting on a cloud. And throughout the recovery, there were so many miracles that have happened for me that I have seen, you know, firsthand, that I have developed this really strong belief in a higher power, and it carries me through day-to-day difficulties. And I think even if you're an atheist, the power that is in the room is so strong, and, you know, it changes people's lives. So, yeah, I hope someone got something from me. Thank you for letting me share.